It's the Thursday movie review. This is Geoff Hopkins. Hello, do not worry. I am not the one reviewing the films. After all, I am the guy who thinks that Police Academy is possibly the finest piece of filmmaking to come out of the late part of the 20th century. No, we have Mark Searby, the film critic and writer, who's here to review the films for the weekend. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Geoff. You?
Yes, smashing, thank you. Police Academy, yes or no?
Yes, absolutely. 1, 2, 3 is my favourite. 4's pretty good. 5 is not very good. 6 is poor. 7 is awful.
I heard they were making another one or some sort of featurette. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, they keep bringing it up from time to time, and I think time has passed now and they should maybe leave it alone. I don't even think a reboot would work. It was of its time.
I'm a purist. Number one was always the one for me. Anyway, enough of the 1980s. Let's look at some films worth watching at the cinema here in 2016. We're starting with a film that has, I think, one of the stars of Bridesmaids and is also going to be in the new Ghostbusters reboot, speaking of 80s films. I've seen the trailer for this, and Melissa McCarthy is letting loose in The Boss.
Yeah, well, Melissa McCarthy continues to blaze her trail across Hollywood in these big, brash, comedic movies. Here, she plays a titan of industry, conducting seminars on how to enrich your life further, and then eventually she's sentenced to prison for insider trading. But when she's released, she's ready to sort of rebrand herself as, like, America's favourite sweetheart. However, not all of her old employees are pleased to see her. This is a brash, near-the-knuckle comedy that isn't afraid to say a few naughty words along the way. I mean, if you've seen Melissa McCarthy's other more recent films, then you'll know that this is kind of pretty identical to those as well. She's sort of a powerhouse in movie making, in all the jokes, you know, playing the fool at the expense of other jokes as well. And that's the one thing that Melissa does so well. She knows how to play and also how to land a joke. And for the first hour, I was in fits of laughter. Her rudeness is hilarious. She really does doesn't care who she offends. It's made even better by her outfits and her vain posturing as well. Of course, the whole point of the film is that this bigwig, hotshot type person hasn't a clue how normal people live. So when she's thrown into living with an ex-employee, they keep butting heads. And the film slowly moves into a family drama, and it takes a while to readjust that area as well. It's only when the redemption starts to happen towards the end of the film that the comedy kicks back in, and it does it with great gusto as well. So if Melissa McCarthy isn't on screen, then the film is worse for it. It's nothing new. We haven't seen, you know, it's all the same. We've seen it before, but it is still quite enjoyable.
Okay, so The Boss, new at cinemas this weekend. On to a film that, by the sounds of it, could be the final feature from Studio Ghibli, When Marnie Was Free. Now, Mark, I know you're a big fan of the work of Studio Ghibli. You're going to have to start by explaining what Studio Ghibli is.
They are a Japanese animation studio, much like Disney, but they make sumptuous movies. Their visuals are not CGI or anything like that. They are hand-drawn, hand-painted, lovingly crafted over years and years. And that's why when they bring out a film, I'm so excited, because they have real storytelling. I'm talking about adult storytelling. And When Marnie Was There takes a lot of the topics that Ghibli always use, which is family, romance, isolation, and also Japanese spirits. And the story follows a young girl who is sent to live with relatives in the countryside. Here she discovers an abandoned mansion and becomes infatuated with a girl who lives there. This girl may or may not be real. The visuals are stunning. Every night scene looks amazing. Every day scene looks amazing. It's exquisite and utterly sublime. I'd happily watch the backgrounds all day, to be honest, but then I'd be missing out on the even more impressive foreground. I hate to say this, but it's a bit of a mediocre storyline. On one hand, it looks at the Japanese spirits, especially of children, and is wonderfully handled. On the other hand, the storyline that's surrounding the girl's infatuation is a little bit drab. It's with a sadness that I see them bow out with a movie that, whilst is so much better than 99% of American animated movies, is not their best work. It's enjoyable, but it's a little bit too average.
Okay, and on to something completely different. The guy who did Fahrenheit 9/11, I think, and Michael Moore, this bearded American man, going out, doing what Americans doing best, and seemingly invading other countries.
That's a very good point, actually. I'm a big fan of Michael Moore. I think he makes great documentaries that basically point out the error of the ways that the United States have in virtually everything. Here, he invades other countries to learn about why they are succeeding and America is getting worse. It's kind of a whistle-stop tour of Europe, basically. Fascinating to watch teachers, politicians, business owners, and even factory workers be interviewed about their daily workings. And then Moore compares that to what is the nationwide norm in America. So in Italy, they talk about how many holidays they have, which is 4 standard weeks and a few days for national holidays. Moore tells them the standard paid holiday in America is 0. Their look on their faces is priceless when they tell them that. So you get stories like this and little anecdotes littered throughout the documentary. I mean, Moore goes into a school in Germany where he finds that they're being taught about Nazis and the atrocities that they cause. And when he asks a young kid why this is important, the teenager replies, "It's so we don't ever let this happen again." It's a really engaging documentary that does have some jokey moments, but continuously puts across that America is the world's most powerful country, yet they can't get the basics right and continue to fail at it. It's a very thought-provoking piece.
He does do some really good stuff. Michael Moore with Where to Invade Next-ish. Let's do a DVD, shall we? A film that made lots of headlines for all the good reasons at the Oscars earlier this year. Notwithstanding, Leonardo DiCaprio finally getting his Best Actor Award at the Academy Awards. Of course, we're talking about The Revenant, aren't we?
We are, yes. My favourite film of the year so far. Because of two things. One, DiCaprio. We said there that he won the Oscar, and it's totally deserved. It's a role that clearly you can tell he put the time and effort into studying Hugh Glass, studying what this fur trader was about, because it is a biopic about a fur trader who is left for dead by being mauled by a bear and has to find his way back, and yet he is constantly up against his old team as well. DiCaprio in this is just sensational. I mean, he should have won the Oscar for Wolf of Wall Street, but here it kind of feels like he's gone method acting. It's a very dark role for him, and because he's on screen so much, you have to feel at one with him, and I think he does that so perfectly, so well. And the bear attack, there's a big disclaimer here. You're gonna have to want to be able to see that. You're gonna have to say, okay, I'm prepared for it, because even though it lasts maybe 2 minutes, it's brutal. It's worse than 99% of horror films I've ever seen. It is so grotesque, so horrible. But that's the whole point of this film. And DiCaprio, he just manages to play it so, so well. The other thing to say about this film is the cinematography. And when we reviewed it earlier in the year, I said it's an immersive experience. And that's a very rare thing in Hollywood now. It's not an easy movie. It's a very difficult movie. It's a very hard movie. But by the end of it, you're going to be rewarded with one of the most intense, one of the most immersive experiences of modern day movie making.
You know what? I think we get to those bear scenes and I have to go and put the kettle on and just sort of let it carry on playing in the background. OK, The Revenant then on DVD this week. Mark, thank you as always. Have a wonderful weekend, won't you?
I will do. You too.